Was Sauron in control of Saruman? Or influencing him? Or in an alliance with him? Or something else? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. Sauron and Saruman are the two main antagonists in The Lord of the Rings. Both Maiar, both powerful, and both hunting for the One Ring. But the exact nature of their relationship is not easy to put your finger on. Is Sauron in complete charge? No, because Saruman is clearly trying to get the ring for himself. So is it an alliance of equals? Again, no, because Sauron clearly thinks, to start with at least, that Saruman works for him. So what's going on? Let's start with the start of the relationship between Sauron and Saruman, because, as Maiar, they almost certainly both knew each other back in Valinor, before Sauron fell to support Morgoth, and then later Saruman was sent to Middle-earth. They were both attached to Aule, the Smithvala. But Tolkien made clear that those memories fade for those who don't hold on to their commission from the Valar. So although they were both aware of each other, any connection they had back in Valinor was but a faded memory. Still, they had that same foundational experience and training. Though neither may have liked it pointed out, there were quite a lot of similarities of approach between them. Amassing orc armies, forging rings of power, hunting in secret for the One Ring, and so on. Although, when I say similarities, it's really an imitation. This is how Tolkien writes about Saruman at Orthanc. Saruman had slowly shaped it to his shifting purposes, and made it better, as he thought, being deceived, for all those arts and subtle devices for which he forsook his former wisdom, and which fondly he imagined were his own, came but from Mordor. So that what he made was naught, only a little copy, a child's model or a slave's flattery of that vast fortress, armoury, prison, furnace of great power, Barad-dûr, the Dark Tower, which suffered no rival and laughed at flattery, biding its time, secure in its pride and in its immeasurable strength. So, for all the similarities, it's more like Saruman echoing Sauron. And Sauron had been doing the evil overlord thing for a lot longer. We should bear this in mind when it comes to the direct relationship between the two. The two of them seem to have first made direct contact around the year 3000 of the Third Age. That's about 18 years before the events of the Lord of the Rings. Saruman had set up his base at Isengard and discovered the ancient Palantir that was locked up there. He eventually decided to try to use it, and we read this in the appendices to The Lord of the Rings. Saruman dares to use the Palantir of Orthanc, but becomes ensnared by Sauron, who has the Ithil Stone. Tolkien wrote a long and fascinating essay on how the Palantiri work, which you can find in Unfinished Tales if you're interested. One thing he makes clear there is that using them and controlling them requires a strong mind and experience. If you connect with someone using another Palantir, you can theoretically just communicate with them, but a magical link is formed between the two magical stones, and one mind can use it to control another, or try to. It's potentially a sort of battle of wills or minds. We see this again and again in the story of the Lord of the Rings. Sauron easily dominates Pippin's mind when Pippin looks into a Palantir. Denethor remains strong in the face of Sauron's mental assaults, but eventually he sees what Sauron wants him to see. And Aragorn, well, it took almost all of his strength, but Aragorn's ability to contend with Sauron the one time he uses the Orthanc Stone scares Sauron a little. When Saruman tried using the Orthanc Stone for the first time, he seems to have been just experimenting with it. But Sauron was waiting, and he ensnared him. That's the word Tolkien uses. It's an interesting word, and one Tolkien uses sparingly. It conjures images of an animal trapped in a snare. It can't move, it is trapped, but it still remains independent, if only it could get free. There's an element of trickery here, and evil intent. Saruman walked into the trap Sauron set. Tolkien used ensnared to describe Sauron distributing the Nine Rings to the nine human kings, sorcerers and warriors that became the Ringwraiths. He also uses it much earlier to describe Sauron persuading Celebrimbor to make the rings in the first place. He had been ensnared in Sauron's evil plans. Sauron does a lot of ensnaring and seems to be pretty effective at it. So this seems not to have been a dramatic battle of wills so much as Sauron lying in wait and ensnaring or trapping Saruman through the Palantiri. Sauron was a stronger Maiar, even without the One Ring, and had had about 60 years to perfect the use of the Ithil Stone he had in Mordor, compared to Saruman just picking up the Orthanc Stone and trying it out. Gandalf summarises the situation like this. Easy it is now to guess how quickly the roving eye of Saruman was trapped and held, and how ever since he has been persuaded from afar and daunted when persuasion would not serve. The biter bit, the hawk under the eagle's foot, the spider in a steel web. How long, I wonder, has he been constrained to come often to his glass for inspection and instruction, and the Orthanc stone so bent towards Barad-dûr that, if any save a will of adamant now looks into it, it will bear his mind and sight swiftly thither, and how it draws one to itself. So Saruman is trapped like an animal, but retains his independence of mind. Sauron does not control Saruman, but Saruman cannot escape. Gandalf sets out what this means in practical terms as well. Sauron can seemingly force Saruman to report in any time via the Palantir and give him orders when persuasion doesn't work. It doesn't take much imagination to realise how much this will have grated with Saruman. He was already well down his dark path and hungrily sought the One Ring for himself. He thought, probably rightly, that if he had the One Ring, then he could rule. He would then be more powerful than Sauron, so he embarked on a dangerous game. He was already pretending to the wise that he was still on their side, and now he set upon convincing Sauron that he was on his side as well. When Sauron told him to do things, he did them. He played the part of a loyal subordinate, but in secret he was plotting and planning his own path to victory. So Sauron definitely wasn't in control of Saruman, but Saruman definitely also wasn't completely independent of Sauron. It was an uneasy and unequal alliance, and probably neither really trusted the other. The crunch point was when Saruman started breaking cover, summoning Gandalf to Isengard and apparently trying to recruit him to his side. We're not given a full breakdown of Saruman's thinking here, but surely at least part of his idea was that having Gandalf on his side would help him break free of the leash Sauron had him on, and he could always deal with Gandalf later once he had the ring. Saruman actually seems to reveal a lot when trying to persuade Gandalf to join him, seemingly revealing a hierarchy of objectives in his rather elevated villain monologue. If he could get the ring, Saruman would rule by himself. Failing that, he would co-rule with someone else, Gandalf, say, for a while. And if all that fails, he would be Sauron's chief lieutenant when he rules, while obviously secretly plotting to take over. Of course, the breaking point comes when Sauron sends the Black Riders to Saruman seeking Baggins and the Shire, and Saruman lies to their faces, pretending he knows nothing. They soon find out that this is a lie, after running into Grima, so by the time the Witch King reports back to Sauron, Sauron knew for sure that Saruman had been double-crossing him, despite being magically trapped through the Palantiri. To be clear, I very much doubt that Sauron 100% trusted Saruman before then, but he would have been confident of his hold over him. Why, you may ask, did Sauron then not take to his Palantir and confront Saruman for his betrayal? Well, again, we're not told exactly, but I suspect that there was an intricate triple bluff going on here. Saruman didn't know that Sauron knew he was double-crossing him, and it served Sauron's immediate needs for Saruman to keep believing that Sauron didn't know. He would keep searching for the ring alongside Sauron's forces rather than against them. And even his more obvious acts of independence, shall we say, like invading Rohan, served Sauron's cause as well. Rohan being invaded from the west meant that they wouldn't be free to send aid east to Minas Tirith. And besides which, not too long afterwards, Saruman was defeated at Helm's Deep and Isengard, and Grima unthinkingly threw the Orthanc Stone at our heroes. Saruman's threat was hugely diminished, and Sauron's ability to influence Saruman through the Orthanc Stone had been literally thrown away. Added to which, The next face Sauron saw in it was Pippin's, and after that Aragorn's, and, well, that took him down a whole other rabbit hole of speculation about where the ring was. His mind will have swiftly moved on from the clearly defeated Saruman. So the alliance between Orthanc and Barad-dûr was complex and multi-layered. Sauron had indeed trapped Saruman and was the dominant power, but did not control him. In fact, both sides wrongly thought that they were in control in some way, that they were manipulating the other. Both wanted the same thing, the One Ring and power, and neither really wanted to share it. Ironically, if they had actually worked together, sharing information and resources, they would very probably have won. If Saruman had told the Nazgul where the Shire was, rather than try to keep that to himself, the Black Riders would have reached Bag End well before Frodo set off. He wouldn't have had a chance. But they couldn't work together. Sauron and Saruman both wanted control. Control and manipulation was the only way they knew how to operate. It would cost them everything they sought. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.